Would you stand for the reading of the word? We are coming from 1 John, starting at the first verse. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things he wrote to you, that your joy may be full, fellowship with him and one another. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. 2 John 1, starting at the fourth verse, I rejoiced greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth, as we received commandment of the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This love that we walk according to his commandments, this is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his public deeds, his evil deeds. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the children, before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We, therefore, ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Diotrephes and Demetrius I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate that which is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true.
Amen. I'm going to ask you to remain standing. Thank you, Michael. Can I have the youth group and the leaders come on forward? Last week we spoke just a little bit about the trip that they're going on to Noah's Ark, which seems like a really fun time. It's not the water park. It's the Ark. And as we shared last week, this is a big deal. And it's a big deal because truths will be explained in such a fashion that people will receive them in different ways. It's a visual picture. So what I'm asking the church to do right now is extend your hands to these young people. The battle in this day is over truth. It always has been over truth. But the attack on truth, I feel like in my time anyway, is greater than it's ever been. Nonsensical thinking is all over the place. So when we send a group of young people who are going to be world changers if they're not already, we pray that the reality of the truth of God sits well in them. So in the name of Jesus, Father God, we just ask that you reveal yourself to each young person, each old person here in this place, but that are going on this trip, that they would have an encounter, not just an ark encounter, but a Holy Spirit encounter of the reality of who you are. Yes, Lord, we see this as a big deal because in the center of it, you are there. I pray that they would have the encounter, that they would know that they have a God who is greater than what they can imagine. They would know that they have a God who will meet them in their place of despair as well as their place of victory. I pray that in Jesus' name. And I pray that they come to a place where they lean on you first, ask of you first, and receive from you first in all things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Now bless the leadership as they go, that you give them wisdom and insights to speak life to the young people on this trip, which they do on a regular basis. And we pray for the young people to ask questions, hard, challenging questions, to not let them rest idle, but to get them out so that they can be addressed by the leadership. I pray that in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that you bring back world changers at another level. So Holy Spirit, have your way in each as they go. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 If you got a few extra bucks, you should probably give it to the leadership so they can buy an extra decent meal on this trip. Good morning.
Good morning.
The worship was amazing. The worship was amazing. Before we celebrate how great we worship, there's a hard thing that took place this last week. Rick Fleury passed away. He's one of our deacons. He's one of our precious wives' husband. And we'll be celebrating that this Wednesday. You come in and if you can make it, if your schedule allows, come to the funeral service for Rick Fleury. I think you'll leave blessed. And I know you will bless Dee. And we ask God's hand upon Dee. I don't even know if she's here today. She's not here today. She's being preoccupied with lots of stuff, which is a good thing for now. But you bless her and you pray for her as she navigates the things that are in front of her. In Jesus' name, amen. It's quite a reading we got this morning. It's quite a great worship we had this morning. Amen. You guys good with that worship? Yeah. That was a golf clap if ever I heard one. Did you really mean that? Okay, that's good. Walking in the light. And it really, walking in the light is truly about abiding in Christ. In John 1:1, which we just heard read, that which was from the beginning, our knowing of Christ, which we the apostles, that's who he's talking about, have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon with our hands and handled concerning the word of life. From the beginning of one's faith or our belief, it was made obvious in John that he's speaking looking back. If you go through the Gospel of John, you read the power of it. If you get the first, second, and third John, there's another 5, 10, maybe more years where he is writing, like we said last week, from the end, near the end of his life, back to what he has learned over the ages about who Christ is. And he's going to give us a little bit more insight as we move forward in first or in second and third John. First, second, and third John. The life was manifested. That means it was made clear. And we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, it was made clear. When you hear the word manifested, it showed up and it's made clear and understanding comes about. That's what I want to see in the church. I want to see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. I want to make sure it's going on in my life, my family's life. Why do we talk about the Holy Spirit? Because it's the only way we can be filled and express and know that the Spirit of God is working through us to impact and affect others. It's purposeful. And I just want to see it. Sometimes it's because my faith might be a little weak. Sometimes it's because it's an encouragement to my faith when I see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit upon a believer. Sometimes it lights a fire in me to want more of him. And if I look at what's the prayer for this church, my personal prayer for this church is that the Holy Spirit would manifest itself, his self, to you. Not in weird, crazy ways, because that happens. You know, it's still in our flesh. Our flesh gets goofy sometimes. But by the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit in us, that it would manifest us in like that, that we would move and operate differently than what we do now. Why? Because we will know and sense the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. What does that mean? That means I can confront my own sin because I have the confidence and the faith to confront me concerning my sinful ways. And I can come to the boldly to the throne because the Spirit of God allows me to come boldly to the throne. To do what? To be honest with God. To tell him the things he already knows about me. And for him to receive me because I took a step of faith and gave it all to him. Practice doing that in your life. Giving yourself to him. By the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what the Holy Spirit does for you? He reveals the truth of who he is. Christ, the Father, the Trinity. He reveals to us who he is. And if we get a soaking in that reality, we see God for who he is, not what we've contrived him to be. We see the immortal awesomeness of God. What does that do for us when we see it? It bolsters our faith. It encourages us to step forward in a day where the church is called to step forward. It'll be interesting to see when those young teenagers come back from a trip and they're going to have an encounter with God. I believe it. We prayed for it. What's going to change in their life? Who are they going to impact moving forward? I'm excited about it. Which ones are going to come out with the courage of the Spirit of God because they saw truth that lined up with the Word of God and they began to believe at a different level, so they began to walk at a different level, impactful walking at a different level for the glory of God. That's what I'm excited about. Sally and I were talking about this kind of thing. We should all be excited. Verse 3 says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This fellowship with the Father is an eternal fellowship reality. We don't think on those terms because we're in mortal bodies. We are linked in a time. We're linked by time. Time is what we know. What happens when we get beyond time and we get into eternity and we're linked to the Son of God, the one who saved us? What's that going to be like? This fellowship with the Father is an eternal fellowship reality. This truth is expectation for the church. We're expected to have this kind of ongoing, fulfilling relationship with God, but not necessarily when we're in heaven with Him. Here on earth is when we're supposed to have that. Because here we're going to operate by faith. Do a faith check right now. Where are you in your faith concerning Christ? Where are you in your faith concerning the Holy Spirit? Where are you in your faith believing that God can take you, use you, and move you to accomplish things, great things for His glory? Where are you in it? I know I'm getting loud. I'm not meaning to yell at you. You know what it is? I looked in the mirror and I saw me. Where are you in the mirror, you know? And the challenge is for all of us. But the challenge is real. It's not a playful thing. It's a faith thing. And we step into that and we embrace what God could do through us. And then we embrace what He has done through us. And then we're going to embrace what He will do through us in Jesus' name. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Fellowship with Him and one another. Oh my goodness. What a prayer. What a gift from God. That we would have fellowship with God and with our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is kind of a big deal prayer. This is a statement of God's word speaking to us from 2,000 years ago of how God wants to meet us, how He wants to feed us, and how He wants to send us and use us for His glory, but for our benefit. How many people are lost right now? Okay, that's good. I can skip over some things. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. When you are in God's presence, you are walking by His Spirit, you're in line with His Word, there is joy. I am telling you, I've done a lot of funerals already in my day. Not as many as Pastor Donnie. And I can't even catch up on him because he's still doing them. And we go and meet with Dee, and her husband has passed. He's on the table right next to us. And there's crying, there's weeping, and there's joy. How does that happen? There's joy in the midst of sorrow. And it was beautiful. And she is a woman on a mission right now. She's taking care of the business and always referring back to the grieving and how hard it is. And you know what? That's the good place for her to be, is in the grieving. But there's joy in the midst of the grieving. How does that happen? But God. I can't do that on my own. Get joy. How many people have lost people and that are so close to you, and you can't get past the grieving. And you're going on for months continuing to carry the grief. When my dad died, I was like that. In fact, I was teaching at West High, and the principal saw that I was out of sorts. He brought me into his office, which was the worst thing for me, because he's going to ask, how are you doing after your dad? You start weeping and crying, and it's a snotty mess, and oh my goodness. And it was to help me get past that heavy grief and get into who my dad was. He got me so good, I was ready to speak. I could speak at my dad's funeral because I began to see some realities of those who are in Christ. Dee has those realities. And they're a big deal because they're based on faith. The realities are based on faith. I'm grateful for that. This is the message which we heard from Him, Jesus, and declared to you that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. He's going to get really serious with us right now. God is light and in Him there is no sin at all. No darkness, no sin. Sin and darkness are interchangeable words in a lot of places in Scripture. He was sinless, perfect. What does that mean for me? God is light. And if that light comes into me, it begins to expose the darknesses in me and begins to root it out of me. Thank you, Jesus. When I'm not in the presence of God or I'm not filled with God, I am not fully aware of the depth of my depravity. I'm more willing or more, I can't think of the word, apt to fall into darkness and sin. Now, he dwells in me. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, so he's in me. Thank you, Jesus. But am I aware? Do I realize he's in me? Or do I forget and let the things of this earth not grow strangely dim, but let them brighten, not brighten, but let that be relevant in my life? I don't want the things of the earth to grow in me. I want the things of Christ to grow in me and reveal those things that need to be rooted out. That's the same for everybody here, I hope, that you invite him in to root things out that don't belong. Now, I'm giving you a lot of my perspective because this has been an incredibly impactful reading, and it is an impactful reading, but allow the light of Christ to shine in your life because it's purposeful. It's necessary and it's purposeful. The light of Christ in us begins to shine and reveal. And the thing he reveals to us are two things, I believe. It reveals him to us, but it reveals us to us. It's almost like being at the Bema Seat judgment, and we know we stand before Christ when he's going to judge and reward us for good things, but we're going to see him face to face. And when we see him face to face, the reality of who he is pops at us, and we are broken before him. The reality of who he is reveals the reality of who we are, and we're on our faces before him. That's what the light of Christ does, and it's a good thing. It's scary. It's frightening, maybe, but it's a beautiful thing when he reveals himself to us. And it's a greater thing almost. Nah, I don't want to do that. It is a great thing when he reveals us to us. Because in my mind, I'm really something. I'm really a great guy, you know, in my head. But I have a wife who is moved by the Holy Spirit oftentimes, and she reveals some truths to me about me. I don't like it. In fact, I'd say the Holy Spirit is a lot better at it than she is. I hear it a lot better from her, though. But that's what the Spirit of God does, is it reveals to us who we really are. And when he dwells in us, this is incredible. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. How do you do with your Christian brothers and sisters, the ones that are real about the faith, not the pretenders, those who you know are real in their faith, where they walk by faith and not by sight, where they walk in line with what God has called them to do? Yeah, that doesn't mean they don't sin. But how many of you have people like that in your life? Just raise your hands. We're going to call everything out today. Yeah, half of you. Find people in your life who are like that, that you know their faith is real. Find people who believe at a different level and get to know them, and they'll reveal things to you without even speaking. That's what the Holy Spirit does with us. Sometimes we receive it differently from humanity than we do from God sometimes. Be perfect, be merciful, be holy is the call. When we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus Christ. His Son cleanses us from all sin. So what are we called to do? The things I just said. Be perfect, be merciful, be holy. That's what we're called to do. How are we doing with it? Well, I'm doing pretty good compared to that guy. I'm doing pretty good, you know, compared to that lady. I'm doing all right. But that's not what the comparison is it? As your heavenly Father is. Be perfect, be merciful, be holy, as your heavenly Father is. Now I ask, how are you doing? Oh, Lord, forgive me. That's where I go. Lord, forgive me. I miss it so many times. I mean, I'm hitting some marks, feeling pretty good about that, but I'm missing marks. And I'm not done. You know, how many times does he have to throw me back in the oven before I'm done? Lots. Walk in the light. The blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses us from all sin, not because he's repeatedly sacrificed, but because the power of his once and for all sacrifice is continually being applied to his people. Are you one of his people? These questions, I know they sound rhetorical. They're not. I want you to take a look and answer those questions. Am I one of his people? Am I a pretender? Am I on fire like he's called me to be on fire? Or am I just brand new at this and I'm just trying to figure out what it is? Where are you in your walk with him? He will reveal to you where you are when you allow him in. And he is gentle. I believe he's been with me. When I thought I was something and I was nothing, I was lost, and I received him, he gently took me on a journey of showing me the truth to be the things he's called me to be. Thank you, Jesus, for being patient and gentle with me. I don't know if I could handle it. He knows what I can and can't handle. Presents the opportunity to grow. Throughout John's writing, light represents God's revealed truth, holiness, life, and spiritual sight. While darkness represents sin, unbelief, deception, and spiritual blindness, Jesus is the light of the world who came to reveal the Father and overcome sin. That's why he came. This is my Father. And the Father says, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. This is you. Stand next to me and see how you measure up. Don't stand next to the knucklehead next to you. Don't measure yourself against them. Measure yourself against him, because that's what he calls us to do. Measure yourself against his word. How you doing? I'm not doing very good, but that knucklehead pastor, I'm better than him. Okay, that's all right. I know you don't like it when I say knucklehead. There's a few other words I've been popping off. I'm trying not to use those too. From Genesis to Revelation, God's light triumphs over darkness. The book of Revelation shows the final victory where Christ is the eternal light and darkness has no place in his kingdom. Don't hide in the corners, man. Step into the light and let it affect you, let it impact you, let it change you. And I'm speaking about the light of Christ. Second thing. Knowing God through love. In John, 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not know God, this is scary. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Do you guys believe that? He is king, he is judge, he is over all things, he's our advocate, he's all these things. But he's primarily love to the fullest extent beyond what we understand. He's all-knowing, but he's all love. He's all-discerning, and he's all love. When he deals with you, he holds to his standards, and they're in love. But make no mistake, he holds to his standards. He holds to what he calls us to. And if you're apart from him, the grace of God is not upon you. If you've rejected him, you don't have his grace. You don't have his covering. You go it alone. And you will stand face to face before the judge and you will have no advocate. You'll have nobody there speaking on your behalf. Jesus. In this love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. He calls the church to love each other. He calls us to have a love for those who are lost in the sense that we would share the truth of who he is. Because when we do that, we're loving God because he loves them. And we go to the place where we reach out to people. So I asked you all to pray for me as I was going to go on this little golf outing with some old college roommates. And Gerald came in and he was asking me some questions about it. Basically, how did it go? I don't even remember if you asked a question, but I told you anyway. And I thought it was just eight guys going golfing, but it was really Lakeland College. That's where I went to school. It was a fundraiser. So generations of people, and you can get lost in it. There's, you know, over a lot of years. But the group that I was concerned about, we all sat together and ate together. And one of the guys at the table, when we were eating lunch afterwards, said, "So what are you doing these days?" Because they knew nothing. Shows you what kind of a witness I am. But I do have about 40 years since that happened. I said, "Well, I taught for 30 years. And in that time, I was a youth pastor, but now I'm the pastor in our church." And the jaw-dropping was the most beautiful thing I ever saw. These guys were dropping bombs like you wouldn't even believe, all over the place, the whole 18 holes. They're letting it fly, and I'm just smiling because I know I got a couple here praying for me about this, and I never had so much joy when I saw the looks on their face. Linemen, I didn't play football. I was kind of a wimp, and I wasn't built for it. Linemen. It speaks a little to my testimony, which is before I came to Christ, which is a shame. Shameful, shameful. But it also speaks to the change in my life. And I am telling you, they were looking at me and they were asking questions. I think it's because you guys prayed for me, those who did. And they're asking questions. They're like, good questions. Well, what about, and what about when, and what you did? I know. I can't use the I word anymore, so I was a knucklehead, which is a really light way of saying I wasn't very bright and I was lost. And they were befuddled. What? And it felt so good. And then my college roommate, who I drove down with and came back, this guy is, he's a dude, and he's weird about being a dude. Like, you stay over there, no handshaking maybe. He gave me a hug when we left. I almost cried. It was so beautiful. He gave me a hug. Now I want to go golfing with him again. I got issues probably, I don't know. But it was so beautiful. But I think when we do step in to that place that's a little frightening, a little scary on behalf of God's call on us, there's blessing that comes, and he blessed me that day. I wonder how many times I didn't step into, too many to count, or I didn't step where he was sending me, and the blessing I missed because I didn't have the courage or the faith to do that, to step into it. He taught me something, though, and it was beautiful. Thank you for those who did pray. It meant a lot to me. So, and then after we're on the same page, then we started talking politics, and that was more about fighting than it was anything else. And but it was really, really good, so thank you for that. Jesus. God's calling us to love, though, as a church. We don't need to be an obnoxious, angry church. We need to be a righteous church. And we need to be willing to go where God is calling us to go for his glory and his purposes. Third thing, our objective, and it's going to come out as we get into September, we begin to really unfold what the vision and the mission are for this church, is that we want to get away from deceptions that are out there. We want to come to the reality, real, of what the Word of God says, what it is and what it isn't. And it's offensive to a lot of people. It's very offensive. We're going to see things that come into the church. Thank God he brought them into the church. And the things that they are into from a world perspective are contrary to the things we would say to them in terms of good counsel. And say, that's against God's word. And it's hard. But it's a reality that we're going to face when we step into God's work. We're going to do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to do it in love. And we're going to say the truth of the matter. That's what the church is called to do. At the same time, we're going to look at those things that the church has taken in. And they see it as godly and church truth. And it's not. You can't find it in God's word. So we're going to address those things as we move forward. What are we doing? We're trying to be accurate and grow in the truth and the knowledge of who God is by His Word. And the Word of God is a big deal. It's what gets preached from anybody that comes up on this pulpit. It's the reality of what you need to survive in life. You need to know the truth of the Word of God. And you need to know what things look like truth, but they're not. They're deceptive. And we'll be going through those things, and it ruffles feathers even of the body. But it's what happens. And in verse 2 John 1:4, it says, "Rejoice greatly, I have found some of your children walking in truth." That made me smile. You know, he found a couple walking in truth. What a great deal. We're sending a half a dozen people to the ark. I'm excited about it. Why? They're going to get exposed to truth that goes beyond what people will accept as reality. Real truth. "I have found some of your children walking in truth. Thank you, Jesus, for the children we have that are walking in the truth of who you are. As we receive commandment from the Father." Marge Milkey, woman of truth. How many people know Marge? That precious woman came to do a visit here, and she moved me. But 2 weeks before she came, maybe a little bit more than that, I'm at a church service. It was an Awana thing for our grandkids at another church. And I look up and I see this young man get up there, and his last name is Milkey. And he's a youth pastor. And I'm trying to tell this story, I think, to Sally. I can't remember if it was you or what. I got emotional as I looked at it because I saw the reality of generations moving. So that was three generations away, or two or three generations away from her. And the impact that her and her husband Larry had on their family, and to see that two or three generations later, they're walking in the truth of God's word and they're operating as pastors. That's what I want for this church, that you would have that impact on your children, on your grandchildren and great-grandchildren, even when it's not being received so well, that God would make a way, that you would have an avenue to speak the truth of who He is in love, not in any kind of angry way, but in a way that would just, they could receive, that God would give you the words by His Spirit, that they would receive it. But it blessed me incredibly. Incredibly. "And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have heard from the beginning, or had from the beginning, that we love one another." Why does John say, "I plead with you, lady"? Whether he's addressing a church or a Christian woman, the emphasis is the same. He is speaking with a pastoral affection. He is not introducing new doctrine, new teaching. He's reminding them of the commandment that they had from the beginning to love one another while continuing in the truth of Christ. This is one of John's recurring themes. Truth without love becomes harsh and cold. Love without truth becomes compromise. Walking in Christ means you're holding both together. That theme fits perfectly with 1 and 2 John on walking in the light. Those who walk in the light both love one another and remain faithful to the doctrine of Christ. Love is not the root of salvation. It is the fruit of a life united to Christ. Those are just incredibly encouraging and powerful words. And I think the word I have for everybody here in this room is continue to grow in the knowledge of the Lord and continue to walk in Christ. That's the challenge for the church. Everything in the world will come against you to detour you from that very thing I shared. Continue to walk. Pastor Mike, it gets hard. It gets lonely. Yes, it does. It gets even worse than that. Continue to walk steadfast in the truth of God. Continue to speak with a spirit of love in you to those you speak to share the truth. We're talking a lot about sharing, and you're probably thinking a lot of times, well, what about my own growth? You take care of your own growth. Read the Word. Stay in the book. Keep coming to church. But God has called you to something bigger than you, and He's calling you to walk in it. He's calling me to walk in it. And it is frightening, and it is scary, and you hate coming against people who come against you. That's usually the sign that you went to the right place. And you walk in there and you do and you be obedient to what he's called you to. You know, I get excited about Celebrate Recovery. You guys have heard me talk about that from time to time. And I do. I think it's a great ministry. I love it. And I think everybody should support it one way or another. Many need it. Right? But the truth of the matter is, the thing that moves me the most are those who grow into places of leadership and begin to speak life to people coming in from really difficult places. That's what excites me the most. And there's a leadership team with our Celebrate Recovery that is unbelievable. They're 22 people deep in leaders. And if I go back 8, 10, 11, whatever it is, years, and I look at maybe some of those same people and say, well, they're not going to work. Same thing the elders said about me. I don't know. But what happens? They grow and they grow and they become leaders. And that's what I get excited is when somebody takes the next step and begins to lead people. To helps, yeah, that's okay. That's good. But lead people into life-saving. And the life-saving I'm referring to is life-saving spiritually. That's what the church is called to. When have you grown? When you stepped past yourself and stepped into life-saving. Did you guys see that guy that saved the young boy in the ocean? That's just a side thought. This is going to take me off my message, but was that unbelievable? If you think about that spiritually, what did that kid do? Waves are 10, 12 feet high. And there's a kid that's drowning out there, and he goes into the mess. He's a lifeguard, but he's only 16 years old. Did all the right things. The wave's coming, duck under it, just like you do at Wisconsin Dells. We all know. But 10, 12-foot waves is different. He goes under there, gets the kid. He begins like to lose him, and he's fighting for that kid. That was a picture of what it should be like in the church. That when we step into what God has called us to, it's overwhelming. It's monstrous. And we got an enemy of our soul who speaks to our ears, and we seem to hear him better than we hear anybody else. Telling us why we can't, why we can't, why we can't. And God is saying, step into it. I am with you in this. And that's what he's telling the church. And here's this is a lesson I learned from my dad when he was teaching me how to box. That's what it was like for me. I hated it. But he's teaching me to box. And his words were, you know, be the firstest with the mostest. In other words, give him a cheap shot. Hit him first. You know, maybe you'll be okay. Don't just take it. And the feeling I got from that was, you're asking me to step into that ocean with not just this, but with whoo, whoo. And God is telling us to step into that. With full force, full confidence for his glory, and we trust him for the results in it. That's the challenge for the church. And it's desperate because there's people that he loves first, and there's people that we're close to that we love and have access to. And he wants us to reach them. He wants us to reach them. We're going to keep doing Bible studies in this church. We're going to have life groups. We're going to be getting into God's word. We're going to keep preaching from the pulpit. The truth of God. We got little recovery ministries out there that are helping people all over the place. But the reality is, we're in a day where God is calling us to go. In fact, it's been for about 2,000 years he's called us to go. He started with his disciples. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news for people. Go. Go. And if we take a study on each of the apostles, you see what they went through. The abuse that they took. And yet they kept going. They kept going. What's the reward like in heaven? Pillars, foundations, with the Old Testament saints and the New Testament apostles. Their names are written in the book of life. Why? Because they went. Were they more gifted than you? Probably not. And he's calling us to the same thing. There's a whole lot more to speak on here. But I think that's the meat of what we are supposed to talk about today. Not to be afraid to go. Teenagers, you're going on a pretty special trip. You're going to see something that I think is incredible. I've been there a few times. I want you to drink it all in. I want you to drink in the reality of the truth of the matter. And I come against those doubts that come into your mind about the reality of it. And I pray that you hear what your leaders tell you. Ask questions. Try to befuddle your leadership, and they will deal with it well because they're going to go there filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to see you come back as movers and shakers. That's what I'd like to see. Advisors, I want the same thing for you. Yeah, I'm looking at you. Jake, why don't you stand up so everybody knows who I'm looking at? Okay. Yep. Yeah. You notice how your wife stood up because that's who I was really talking to? Okay. Impact people. Impact them. In Jesus' name. Father God, I pray for every person here that you speak by your Holy Spirit to their hearts, to their minds, and their spirits, that they receive fully what you have for them. Begin to show them the direction you're taking them. And I come against fear and doubt and unbelief. And I rally around you and the precious move of your Holy Spirit to fill and empower and send in Jesus' name. Amen.